Welcome to the Deep Dive. Okay, we're diving straight in today because there's a crisis unfolding, and it's hitting culture hard. I mean, look at this statistic. 73% of musicians, they're reporting anxiety, serious mental health issues, or depression. That's huge.
It really is. And that anxiety, it's not just sitting there. It's leading to action. Our sources are showing this massive exodus right now. Artists are quitting the industry like never before.
So the talent pipeline is just collapsing.
Pretty much. And, you know, when you ask why, the usual suspect comes up. The sort of battle cry you hear everywhere blames Spotify.
Right. The big DSP. Always painted as the, quote, evil dictator.
Yeah.
Responsible for everything.
Exactly. But is that the whole story? I mean, is it really just Spotify?
That's what we're digging into today. This deep dive is about looking past that easy target to, you know, understand the bigger picture. The systemic flaws in the music business right now, circa 2025.
Yeah, because the problem runs way deeper than just one company. What the source material really unpacks is this fundamental structural issue. They call it a misaligned triangle of perceived entitlement.
A misaligned triangle of perceived entitlement.
Yeah. And until we kind of pull apart why each side feels justified, why they feel entitled, we can't really grasp why nothing's changing, why we're stuck.
Okay, let's unpack that triangle. It sounds fascinating, actually. Especially this idea of cognitive dissonance playing out on a global scale. So three parties involved.
Three main parties, yeah.
And the core issue is each one thinks they're the victim, which lets them all point fingers elsewhere.
Precisely. It's a perfect storm for deflecting blame. So let's start with the oldest player, the labels.
Okay, the big record companies.
Mm-hmm.
Sony Music, Universal, Warner, some been around forever.
Brand. Absolutely. Sony Music, for example, started like 96 years ago. Their feeling of entitlement comes from that history. They took the big risks back in the day, built the whole physical infrastructure.
But that was then. Why does that entitle them now in this digital age?
Well, it boils down to ownership. They feel entitled to own the music itself, especially the master recordings of the most played stuff. And because they own it, they believe they deserve the lion's share of the money.
Regardless of how it's delivered.
Regardless. Their historical investment, the sheer weight of their back catalogs, they see that as justification for controlling the revenue streams, even though they don't control the pipes anymore.
Okay, so that's the label's entitlement. Historical weight. That brings us to corner number two. The platforms. Spotify, Apple Music, the DSPs.
Right. And their claim to entitlement is completely different. They basically say, we fix the industry.
Which, I mean, after Napster, they kind of did, didn't they? The whole thing was burning down.
It was chaos. Billions lost. Spotify and the others stepped in, created a system, got some money flowing again, even if it wasn't much per stream. So their entitlement comes from being the solution. They're where people actually listen to music now.
And they argue they need that revenue for growth, shareholders.
Paying for the tech, keeping the lights on, yeah. And, you know, for Daniel Ake to buy football clubs or whatever.
I remember reading their sort of challenging viewpoint, too. Basically, if you don't like our terms.
Go build your own Spotify.
Yeah. It's a blunt way of saying, we control the market now.
It definitely shows the power dynamic. But okay, labels have historical entitlement. Platforms have structural entitlement. But the source material argues the third corner, the consumer, is maybe the most entitled.
Wait, the consumer? How? People are paying 10 bucks a month, aren't they?
They are paying, yes. But think about it. For what, over 15 years now? Since Napster blew things up? People have had access to basically free music.
Mm.
So that $10, the perception, according to the data, isn't really payment for the music. It's payment to get rid of the ads.
Okay, so the music itself still feels free, like air.
Pretty much. An infinite commodity you shouldn't really have to pay for directly. And that's where the cognitive dissonance kicks in hard.
Right. This is key to the whole mess. Explain that again in this context.
Okay. So cognitive dissonance is that uncomfortable feeling when your actions don't line up with your beliefs. Here, the belief is, I love music. I care about artists.
Sure. Most people would say that.
But the action is listening to that artist's work for effectively zero cost per stream. Fractions of a cent.
So the brain needs to fix that clash.
Yeah.
And instead of thinking, maybe I should pay more.
Or buy merch or go to shows or something. The easier path is to blame someone else.
Blame Spotify. Or yes. Blame the labels.
Exactly. It's their job to pay the artists fairly, not mine. It neatly resolves the dissonance and lets the consumer off the hook. And the whole system is creaking under the weight of these three conflicting entitlements.
To really feel the scale of this change, we need that historical perspective. Back to the old days. physical stuff.
Right. Before Napster just, you know, obliterated everything. Back when you bought CDs, vinyl, cassettes.
That's, you had to get up, go to a store.
Get off your ass. Yeah. Buy the album, buy the player.
Yeah.
It was a commitment that drove the whole economy.
And the numbers showing that collapse are just staggering. You mentioned the peak for CDs was the year 2000.
Yeah. In America, nearly 1 billion CDs sold. Highest gross ever.
A billion. Okay, compare that to now. 2024 figures.
Total physical sales, so CDs and vinyl combined, just 55 million units.
From a billion to 55 million. That's
It's a 95% market collapse in just over 2 decades. It didn't just change music, it changed everything around it.
Yeah, that's a great point. Think about the ripple effects. The electronics industry. No need for fancy CD players anymore.
Or those massive component stereos. Gone.
Car manufacturers remember CD changers in the trunk or visors full of CDs.
Totally gone. Replaced by a little O-Jack or Bluetooth. And of course, the stores themselves.
The record shops.
Yeah.
Tower Records, HMV, Virgin Megastores just vanished. An entire way of discovering music just poof.
And look, the reality is we can't rewind the clock. Digital is here. It's convenient. It's what people expect. Even when people do buy vinyl or CDs now.
It's more like buying a t-shirt, isn't it? Supporting the artist.
Exactly. It's seen as merch. You buy it to show support, maybe put it on a shelf, but you probably still stream the music day to day. You don't need the physical disc to listen.
Which is why Spotify and the others seemed like a good idea initially. After the Napster chaos, they brought some order.
They did. They gave labels some control back, offered a structured way to listen, and for artists, it meant global reach overnight. Suddenly, you could get discovered through MySpace, then Facebook, now TikTok.
Instead of just playing local gigs, hoping a label scout showed up.
Right. So the system served a purpose. It plugged a huge hole.
But just because it was necessary then doesn't mean it's fair now.
Absolutely not. Because in this current system, with the labels, platforms, and consumers all feeling entitled, someone's getting squeezed.
And that someone is the artist.
Primarily, yes. Inequality is just rampant while everyone else argues over the spoils.
We really need to nail down the money aspect here. The royalty rates, there's so much confusion, people throwing numbers around, like 0.03 or 0.05 cents a stream.
Yeah, and that's usually way too high. The sources we looked at put the actual average payment closer to 0.02, maybe 0.025 cents per stream, sometimes even lower.
Hold on. 0.02 cents. So you need like 4 or 5 streams just to make one single penny.
That's the grim reality of the math. Yeah. How can anyone build a sustainable career on that? It forces artists to focus on quantity, not quality. Just churn out tracks, hoping something gets traction.
The source material had a great analogy for this, didn't it? The shared house chef.
Yeah, it really makes it clear. Okay, so the artist, they're the chef.
Right. Passionate, loves cooking, buys all the ingredients, spends hours making meals. That's the music.
Exactly. Then you've got Jeff. Jeff is Spotify, the platform. He owns the house, the kitchen, the fridge, the stove, pays the bills, maintains the place where everyone eats.
Okay, fair enough. Jeff provides the infrastructure.
Yeah, that's his role. But the problem, it's the 4 other housemates.
Who represent?
The labels and the consumers. And what do? They tell the chef what they want. They raid the fridge anytime, day or night, eat everything the chef cooks.
But they don't chip in for the groceries? Or the chef's time?
Not a dime. They just consume. So what happens eventually?
The chef gets totally fed up, stops cooking, can't afford it physically or emotionally.
And then the housemates wonder why they're hungry. That's exactly what's happening now. Artists are burning out, quitting.
Which means the food, the music starts getting worse. Because the chefs who care are leaving, and the ones left are just trying to cook faster, cheaper meals.
Precisely. More focus on quick hit social media tactics, less on actual musical craft. Quantity over quality becomes the survival mode.
Okay, so if the system is broken and the chef is walking out, what's the fix? The sources seem pretty dismissive of some common ideas.
Yeah, things like everyone should boycott Spotify or let's just go back to buying CDs. Look, those things might help one specific artist make a few extra bucks, which is great for them.
It doesn't change the underlying structure.
Not at all. It won't fix the systemic imbalance. The sources were really clear on this.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one thing that can force fundamental change across the board.
And that is?
Legislation. Government intervention.
Really? Legislation. Why can't the industry sort itself out?
Because nobody wants to give anything up. Think about it. The consumer doesn't want to pay more, right?
Definitely not. We've established that entitlement.
The labels aren't going to voluntarily loosen their grip on contracts and revenue shares. Why would they?
Okay.
And Spotify and the other platforms, they have a, frankly, pretty sweet deal right now. They're tech companies valued in the billions. Their primary duty is to shareholders, not necessarily artists.
Yeah, everyone's locked in their corner of the entitlement triangle.
Exactly. There's no internal incentive powerful enough to make them change. That's why you need external pressure. The current model just isn't sustainable for the creators, the people actually making the product everyone else profits from.
This is where we need to see the artist differently, isn't it? Not just as the chef, but as the source calls them.
Yeah.
The superhero.
Yes. The one with the actual talent, the superpowers, the music, the message, the brand, the connection with the audience, that all comes from the artist.
Without the superhero, the whole ecosystem collapses. The platform is just pipes. The label is just contracts.
Exactly. The emotional connection, the thing people actually care about, originates with the artist.
So if legislation is the only answer, how do we get there? What needs to happen?
It has to be a collective effort. Artists need to band together, build their authority, make their voices impossible to ignore, but they can't do it in a vacuum.
Needs public support.
Massively. It requires a huge educational push. Videos, articles, blogs, deep dives like this one, really showing the audience, showing you listening right now, just how little creators get, hammering home the reality of that 0.02 cents per stream.
So people understand the disconnect between their love for the music and the artist's actual compensation.
Yes. We need to build widespread understanding and, frankly, some outrage. That collective voice is what politicians eventually listen to. We're talking sustained pressure.
Like what? A petition?
Maybe. But a big one. Like needing 100,000 signatures minimum, kept alive for maybe 2-3 years, focused on specific policy demands, not just general anger. The music has to stay central, the heartbeat. But the business around it needs a fundamental rebalance.
Okay, so let's wrap this up. The key takeaway from this deep dive isn't just Spotify bad.
No, definitely not. It's way more complex. The industry crisis is systemic. It's rooted in these entrenched, misaligned expectations, these entitlements from labels, platforms, and consumers ever since digital blew up the old physical model.
And the consequences of not fixing it are pretty dire for the art itself.
Hugely. It's already changing the music, pushing artists towards volume, towards algorithms, away from digcraft. So if we agree the artist is the superhero here, the provocative thought for you, the listener, is this.
We can do.
Yeah. What steps will you take now that you know this to amplify artists' voices, knowing that collective action, pushing for legislation, seems to be the only real path forward? And maybe ask, how long can we keep expecting superheroes to save the day if we're not willing to reward them fairly for their powers? How long can passion alone sustain them?